So this Advent season, we've been wandering in the wilderness a little bit. We've been invited to the desert with the likes of the prophet Isaiah. And today I'll read a little bit from Matthew's gospel. We'll see John the Baptist out there, the wild man that he is, preaching in the wilderness. It's an invitation to sort of assess where we are in our lives, to prepare the way of Christ to come. Means that we might examine our own lives and think about where we might allow room for God. This one writer writes about being disturbed by God. I want to start with this today. Now she's writing about this text. Maybe I'll just read you a couple of verses from Matthew where we are introduced for the first time to John the Baptist in Matthew's gospel. It's in Matthew 3. He says, "In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" That repent is a very churchy word. Do you guys know what it means? Does it mean you come forward while we sing "Just as I Am" and turn your life? Yeah. It actually means to turn around, literally. And as I've said before, one of my teachers says, change the direction in which you're looking for happiness, you know? If you're in Target looking for happiness, that buck is there to remind you, maybe you should look somewhere else just for today, maybe just for one day. One Advent season, look somewhere else for happiness. So he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The footnote says, it reminds us of the language is right at hand. It's like it's at your fingertips. If your arm reaches to right there, then the kingdom is just right there, right? It's that close. "This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, 'The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" And the next couple of verses just kind of give us a little glimpse of like, oh, that's an interesting sermon. Who is this John the Baptist guy? Well, in case you were wondering, John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and honey. John's one of those crunchy types. We call him in our house. Then he probably shopped at Trader Joe's, too. That's where you got the honey-roasted crickets. I think it's in aisle 3. "And then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." They were changing the direction that they were looking for happiness. And they accepted an invitation to sort of look for the kingdom of God right at hand. John is a wild man. And we are disturbed by a wild God with the likes of a wild man like John. Followers of Jesus do not think alike. Why does it surprise us when we learn we are divided on many issues? Maybe it's because we segregate ourselves according to theological understandings and differences in class, race, styles of worship, levels of education. And we begin to believe that most people are like us. I like to think that. At least all the decent people are like me. I don't know about all those other people. We travel the wide path, choosing churches and friends through the lenses of conservative, liberal, or progressive, as we might choose universities or political parties. And then we learn that even within our selected church, we disagree about who Jesus was and is and whether we are called to a change of heart or a change of direction. Sometimes we simply don't talk about substantive topics at all because we still have not reached consensus, this will make you laugh, as to what time to meet, the best way to distribute communion, how to decrease congestion in the parking lot. Okay, we don't really have that problem. What color the hymnal should be, what about the carpet, you know, just pick your issue. We talk about a lot of things that we can disagree about. If we are among the blessed, and we are, God is faithful to interrupt us. Someone unexpected breaks in from the wilderness, like that deer in the target, right? And we are jarred awake. A Muslim refugee family needs sponsorship, and no one in town welcomes them. A transgendered woman or man seeks full inclusion in the church to serve as a deacon, Sunday school teacher, or liturgist, as well as the opportunity, as simple as it sounds, to just use the bathroom. Someone loves the wrong kind of person, has the wrong kind of disease, espouses the wrong kind of care for our nation or creation. In some way or other, God sends a messenger crying out, rethink what you think. Turn around. Walk in a different way. So it is for the people of Judea when an unkempt preacher blasts forth proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Curious people go to listen and are moved by his challenge to turn their lives around. To mark the moment, he baptizes them in the muddy river. This wild man they call John the Baptist, a radical departure from their religious norms. He stirs the depths of their hearts and also calls them to action. Bear fruit of worthy of repentance, he says. From within or outside our circles of sameness, someone's voice is trying to break in right now. Whose is it? What fruit will be born if we dare to listen and turn? Will we let God disturb us and use us to disturb others? Those are thoughts shared by Kayla McClurg about the God who interrupts and disturbs us. That's an interesting way to sort of a disposition to hold for Advent, isn't it? Careful what you wish for sometimes. I'm saying to myself as the preacher, you know, do I want to invite God to disturb me this season? To interrupt my status quo and call me to befriend a Muslim family or fill in the blank? What is it? Where am I called to move outside my comfort level, my community of sameness? I mean, look around. We're all pretty darn the same, aren't we? Yeah. But where might we be called? Shaken, stirred, disrupted to really embrace the call of God to be the people of God. It's a bold thing, and it's not all about babies and shepherds and the baby Jesus, right? And I even hesitate sometimes with this prophet Isaiah, chapter 11. It's a beautiful poem, really. It's poetry. A vision of the peaceable kingdom, and a little child will lead them, right? I think, oh, isn't that sweet? It sounds good until you put a child in the White House, and now all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. Maybe that's not a good idea, right? I mean, that's really what we're talking about. We think, well, we're talking about the innocence and, you know, being able to see the world from a child's perspective. The image is a radical one, and it should disturb us. It should cause us to, you know, almost take our breath away for a moment. It's like, what? And a child shall lead them? And the lion and the lamb shall lie down together? Does that sound like a good idea? Probably does to the lion, right, as they say. But the vision of God is bold in this way. Our friend Richard Bruxford Colligan has this song. We're using this out at the prison this Advent season. It's called Body of God. And quick advertisement, Richard's going to be here on December 21st. We're going to have another winter solstice service. It's the shortest day or the longest night of the year, depending on how you want to say that. And Richard is a wonderful liturgist and musician, psalmist, that helps us sort of embrace the darkness of the season. A lot of people are overwhelmed by the season, especially the darkness, and depression can be a real thing. And this just is a nice way to gather for worship. But anyway, this is another one of his songs. God breaking through to our lives. But this is no great surprise. Babies and barns, green fields and farms, this is the body of God. Star in the dark sky we share, straw underfoot as we look up and stare. each part of creation a perfect formation that lives as the body of God. Where else would God be but right here? In, with, and through all we sense and feel. God in the manger, God in the cows, God in the innkeeper's raised eyebrows. Where else would God be but right here? Transcendent and cosmic and at home in our tears. God in the common, God in the strange. Get ready for this one. God in Jesus' very first diaper change. Yeah, the body of God. Just think about that. Everything is the body of God. And then he ends with this. These are unsettling times. And as I put my son down for the night, I can't help but think how much kinder we'd be if we knew all of life, the world's every plight, to be part of the body of God. Where else would God be but right here? Under our noses, in the midst of our fears, God in our stories, God in the world, God in the pain and the good news we've heard. God in the manger, God in the cows, God in the common, God in the strange. God in our stories, God in the world, God in the pain and the good news we've heard. Wow. That's another way for me to sort of embrace these words of the prophet Isaiah with this peaceable kingdom. Just how inclusive the body of God is, right? And the lion and the lamb, and the young and the old, in the wilderness and in the city, right? There's no place that is not part of this beautiful body of God. So our word for the day is peace, and I was having a nice, peaceable Bible study with people on Thursday. I was trying to get them to see, you know, some of these wilderness texts, and we were looking at John the Baptist in the wilderness, and Jesus said, this is back later in Matthew, as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? Did you think you were going to see a reed shaken by the wind? And kind of a veiled reference to Herod and the powers that be. Someone dressed in soft robes. Again, another reference to power and authority, maybe religious leaders. No, you went to see a prophet. Yes, and I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Isn't that interesting? I didn't notice this on Thursday. But what that says is, it doesn't say the messenger will prepare the way of the Lord. It says it will prepare your way before you. Maybe that's what he means for us to prepare the way of the Lord, is for us to think about our path being different. That's the invitation. So in Bible study, I had this nice little thing planned, but somebody, I don't know, I'm just going to say it was Karen, because it's usually Karen. Well, what about this piece over here? It's like, no, 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 put your blinders on. Only read the parts I tell you to read. There's another piece over here on this other page. It happened to be on the adjoining page. Just so for thousands of years, you know, the church did that. We told people, only read the parts I tell you to read, right? We can thank God for the Reformation again, because somebody flipped over and read another part. It's problematic sometimes. Here in chapter 10 of Matthew, it says, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. What's our word for the day? Yeah, it's got a nice dove. Apparently, we should put a big red line around it and mark through it. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law. And so the women in Bible study say, yeah, Paul, you should preach on that. Yeah. Well, here I am. Here's what I have to say about that. It just doesn't always make sense. The Bible does not always make sense. Next time, just read the parts I tell you to read. That's one way to deal with it. It worked out well for the Inquisition, right? Until the Inquisition, right. So I've studied world religions. You guys know this. And one of the things that's interesting about studying world religions is sometimes you see things in another religion, you think, wow, that's really weird. And then you think, well, wait a minute. That's also in my religion. I remember this with Hinduism. There's a god called Shiva. You guys ever, you know Shiva? You've probably seen Shiva. We've seen Shiva, right? Multiple limbs, right? Lots of arms, lots of legs. Usually doing something like this with at least six of them, right? Shiva's a dancer. But not just any dancer. Shiva dances the dance of destruction. Now, when I learned that, I thought, well, that's weird. Who wants a god that goes around destroying stuff? Well, we all do, actually, don't we? Especially if it's our enemies, right? But so I had to start thinking about that. Is there a destroyer in Christianity? Is Jesus a destroyer? Sometimes. And a lot of us have sort of, you know, last week we talked about Constantine. He's the one that made Christianity official and he put the cross on the banner and he marched into war with the power of God on his side, right? So God became a conqueror. Not one of our best moments as far as the church goes. But is God a destroyer? And I think there's room in this. And I think what Jesus and John the Baptist is saying about Jesus, and Jesus then is even saying, I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. I'm going to cut the bad stuff out. I am going to destroy things. And it's not just our enemies in terms of other armies or other people that we don't understand or people that don't think like that, but rather it's the things in our own lives that get in the way, right? In Sunday school this morning, we looked just briefly at this great little video of Nadia Bowles-Weber. She's this tattooed Lutheran preacher person. She's really kind of very edgy. And she was talking about Advent, the thief. There's lots of images in Scripture that Jesus comes as a thief in the night. And she says, isn't that a wild idea? That what's Jesus going to come and steal from us? Maybe he needs to come and steal the stuff we don't need, like my selfishness or my poor self-image or all the things that get in the way. So the destroyer, the Jesus who comes with the sword, is about taking away, cutting out the things we don't need. Think of all the things that just get in the way. Your bad attitude, your lack of faith, your judgmentalism. That's my list, by the way. I don't know why I said your. It's mine, right? Those are my things. And God will come and cut away. And the destroyer, if you want the image of the dancer, destroy those things so that we can have this beautiful, free relationship with God through Christ. Amen.